Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with me today. And as you may have heard, if you were listening to the wonderful Friday Sunrise, wasn't that an awesome band? I love that singer. She's gorgeous. Love her, love her, love her. Anyway, if you were listening to Friday Sunrise, you know that today is the last show I will be doing at this day and time. No more Friday mornings. I am moving, starting on February 21st, to Mondays at 12 noon, and that's local Pacific time here in Vancouver on 101.9 FM. You may also be listening online at citr.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today's guests, we have Jeffrey Armstrong. He is a local Vancouver author of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar, and we'll be talking about that first. And then Alfred Weber is going to be talking about the future, aliens, and all of that fun stuff, and something called exopolitics. I'm curious to learn more about that. So welcome to the show, our first guest, Jeffrey Armstrong. Oh, hi, Jeffrey. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us today. How's it going?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Good, good. So tell us, first of all, if we haven't, maybe we should go over a quick overview of what Avatar is, because I know just about everyone has seen it, but in case there's some people that haven't. Now, this book, The Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar, are you talking about the movie Avatar, or are you talking about some other kind of Avatar?
I'm actually using the fact that the film came out in the particular way that it did, because it used an ancient word, Avatar, from the Sanskrit language and from the knowledge of India. So what's happening in our world is that people who are telling stories, making movies, are taking pieces of ancient culture and using it to create a new story, which they then put out into the world. Star Wars is a good example. Star Wars is originally derived from an ancient story called the Ramayana in India, which is a story that supposedly took place about 1.2 million years ago. And it's the coming to Earth of an avatar and the whole story surrounding that. George Lucas studied under Joseph Campbell, or studied his works, extracted the story that Joseph Campbell had learned in India. And so we in our culture see Star Wars coming to us, but we don't know where its roots are. So James Cameron did the same thing. He created a film, called it Avatar, and used the word in a particular way that's been used in computer gaming, which is when you have a player in the game, that player is called your avatar, your representative in the game. So in the film, James Cameron had the main character going back and forth from one body to another. But he was actually setting up a metaphor for us of reincarnation, of us going back and forth from body to body. And the word avatar in India for thousands and thousands of years has meant the descent of the transcendental divine into our world to make an appearance and communicate with us.
Wonderful. And so what is the, I mean, you're talking about reincarnation and Avatar being a metaphor for that, and there were also so many important themes in the movie Avatar.
That's right.
So is reincarnation the main focus of the spiritual teachings of the Avatar?
No, but it's the context, and just as the context of the film was your ability to move from one body to another, playing in the background. So we could see that neither body was actually Jake Sully, because Jake Sully was the consciousness that was moving back and forth between the two bodies. So think of that as a kind of a construct that was used to set a tone for defining what we're capable of. And the implication is we're capable of doing that as well, of going back and forth. So the meaning is the real self is not the body. The body's a vehicle, a carrier for the consciousness, and the consciousness is the real self. So that's an ancient teaching from yoga and from the knowledge of India that James Cameron used as a vehicle for giving us a way to look at who we are at the beginning of the story. So.
And so now when we talk about the movie Avatar, they had gone to another planet to mine on this planet, and it was they treated the local natives of the planet much like Westerners treated the First Nations people when they came here to the New World. And so what does that say? I know that your book also talks about sustainability of our planet. And when we're talking about consciousness, there's so many people who say, okay, well, 2012 is coming, where they believe that maybe we're going to have a shift in consciousness. How do you see that happening?
Well, 2012, first of all, is a construct from the Mayan culture. And unless most people use the Mayan calendar in their everyday life, it would be rather silly of them just to believe that date when they ignore the rest of the Mayan calendar. So the idea of 2012 being some kind of significant shift is mostly marketing that's been used to sell books and to create a focus of attention for people. And the Mayans themselves didn't think that the world was ending in 2012, or even that everyone's consciousness, as we think of it, was going to shift. They simply said it was the transition from the fifth age back to the first one. And it was a way they calculated time, a kind of astronomy astrology that the Mayans used. So, no, it's not got anything to do with a major shift happening in 2012. But what it does have to do with is us having a root of connectedness back to the indigenous cultures that were colonized. And what James Cameron is showing us is how our culture, the one that we're a member of, took everything they could from all of the indigenous cultures of the world for the last 500 years. It started about the 16th century in earnest. The European cultures simply went out and destroyed every other culture on the planet and took whatever they could and brought it home for their families. So you could say that we live at the end of an age of rape and pillage that's been going on for 500 years, and our wealth and our world and our technology sort of rests upon that. So James Cameron used, again, that in the film. They were looking to try to get unobtainium. Mm-hmm. So this, again, is pointing us in the direction of that we're trying to get something from material science that will make us happy, and he's giving us the thesis that it's unobtainable in that particular form. You can't just take something from everyone else and get happy. Interestingly enough, in an interview, he said that the film didn't do as well in the United States as it did throughout the world. It was 25% more popular in the rest of the world than in the U.S. And then he added an aside and said, I think it's because the people in the United States thought that the film was about them. Since America currently, and I can say this, I'm originally from there, has been the sort of poster child for the colonizing of the world in various ways, and by remaining the overall consumer, the best consumer in the world by 40%. So this is a social commentary about how far we've gotten from the roots of our existence, from where we started out. The modern world is so distorted by modern technology and its inventions and powers that we've actually lost track of where our roots are.
And it's interesting, Jeffrey, that this is so timely because just the other day there was a YouTube video that came out about some of the, there are a handful of tribes in the, I guess it's the Amazon jungle, that have not had contact with the outside world. Or, I mean, some people say it's just a marketing ploy for tourism, but there, it's debatable. But they, I don't know if you've seen the little mini documentary where they flew over and you could see the tribes people looking up at the plane. And so let's assume for this conversation that they really are real and they have not had contact with the outside world. They're living in this community where everything is very pristine. They probably don't have a lot of communicable disease or anything like that. And loggers and foresters are wanting to just wipe out their land. And I'm wondering what you think we could learn from these people, the people living in the Amazon.
Well, you know, the premise that James Cameron was talking about is the basis of indigenous society. And so to make it very simple, ancient cultures, all of them up until now, lived in a cyclic way. They lived on the resources of the earth in some kind of cycle, or else they didn't last. So whether it was a stationary indigenous culture, like many of the cultures throughout Asia, that lasted for thousands and thousands of years and managed to last, or whether it was indigenous peoples who moved around and lived in a cyclic way on nature, a lot of the hunter-gatherer cultures that moved in a cycle. All of those people lived in a cyclic way, and for the last 100 years or so, we've gone off the cyclic reality onto the non-renewable energy model. And along with that is a distortion in how we live on the planet that you might say it's just not sustainable because we only have about 20 or 30 years of oil left at the very best. So the question for our out for the moment that we're living in is whether or not we will connect the dots between an unsustainable burst of culture and an ancient way of living that lived sustainably on the planet. And in the film, I think Cameron did a great service to everyone by bringing those two ideas together very visibly. so we could meditate upon whether or not we are indeed cutting down a home tree, which would mean the whole planet, really.
Well, I mean, I don't argue with that. We're definitely, I mean, anyone can see that we're making detrimental changes to our planet, even if you don't believe in global warming or whatever. I mean, you can just see it. Our oceans are, we have fewer fish. They're becoming mutated because of the hormones and all of that that goes into the ocean and all of that. But I mean, what do you think we can do as a society? Like you said, the indigenous people live in a cyclical manner where they're really living in communion and just with nature and living off the land so that they're not harming, they're taking what they need, but it is renewable. How can we as a society move back into that attitude when we are so, I mean, I went to Safeway the other day, the grocery store, to get tomatoes, and they're all from Mexico right now. And I asked the guy in the grocery department why we don't have BC Hothouse tomatoes in the store right now. And he said it's because they need to burn natural gas to heat the greenhouse. And I didn't even think of that. I thought, well, it's a greenhouse, it's warm. But I mean, even just tomatoes, we're having to ruin the planet to grow tomatoes in a hothouse. So how are we going to move back into living sustainably and living with nature when we're just, it's so ingrained in us and we're so used to it?
Yeah, that's the question of the hour, really. Mahatma Gandhi said it very interestingly. He said, the Lord has provided enough for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question at its root is, what are we going to do about the human greed factor, and how do we control that and get into some kind of cooperative behavior? So what this really is about is that the societies that we're talking about in various places around the world, whether it was India, where they rose to a very, very sophisticated civilization with science and technology, but they didn't abuse it and extract too much from the earth, to the more primitive lifestyles that were more basically just living out in nature. All of those had some body of wisdom that they passed forward, and they had an attitude that nature was sacred and that we have a sacred relationship to nature, and therefore we have an obligation to future generations to give them a world which is beautiful and intact and sustainable on a long-term basis. As Chief Pontiac said, from the indigenous peoples of North America, he said we should make sure that at least 7 generations into the future are going to have a good and high-quality lifestyle. So clearly, our memory and our minds are affected by the flurry of excitement created by the powers of technology right now. And if we don't wake up from that, then the sad truth is we'll have to watch 2 or 3 billion people die on the planet when technology dies back to the point that it can't sustain them. So we're either going to see that before it happens and do something about it as a group, or we're going to watch it happen on television as a group. And that's the historical moment we currently live in, and it's not an easy one. And it's the one Cameron was showing us.
Well, and it's interesting that the people who are being most negatively affected by the global changes that are happening are the people who have the fewest financial resources. And so I guess it's going to be a question. I mean, people living in the Western world kind of assume that overall we're generally pretty safe in our on our little pedestals here. And so it'll be interesting to see how much the wealthy countries do to help out the people who we've put in this position.
Yeah, and it asks an ancient question, which if you look at history, it's never easy to deal with very, very powerful beings who amass a lot of wealth and power and then use it irresponsibly. But this is the way Cameron depicted it as well, which is why he had to use this sort of Hollywood Deus Ex Machina, God from the Machine ending, where the All Mother does rally the troops and they're able to stop the incursion. But, and the film was criticized probably the most for that sort of Hollywood style ending, because that may not be necessarily the answer for us, but there's something like that. In the book that I've written, I give the teachings of the Avatar. So what Cameron can't do in a film is give us enough philosophy to make a difference in our consciousness. But what the word Avatar is about is a whole set of teachings that teach why and how to live on the planet in a reasonable way. But what most people in the world don't know is that that knowledge was given in cultures like India for the last million years, and has been passed down as the knowledge that we now see coming forward as yoga is just the tip of a larger iceberg of a library of knowledge of how to live on the planet as a divine beings, and how to see each other in a spiritual way, and how to cooperate with nature, and how to see nature as a conscious entity. A whole series of very important teachings that support an alternative view to just rape and pillage, which is our current model.
Wonderful. Well, we've talked about some of the problems that we have on our planet. And after the break, let's talk more about consciousness and the actual spiritual teachings of the Avatar. So today we are speaking with Jeffrey Armstrong. He is a Vancouver author of the book Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. And we will be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul very shortly. I just want to let you know, if you're just tuning in, that today is the final Friday morning that Synchronicity will be airing at this day and time. Starting February 21st, the show will be moving to Mondays at 12 noon, and I hope that you will be able to swing on by and join me at the new time. And if not, if it doesn't fit in with your schedule, you can always catch the show on podcast at citr.ca or my personal website, spiritualshow.com. So we'll be back with more Jeffrey Armstrong, author of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar, in just a moment.
Strength. Dignity,
respect,
beauty,
self-worth,
safety,
confidence,
choice,
hope.
The Beauty Night Society is a registered charity dedicated to helping marginalized women introduce trust, hope, and self-esteem into their lives. This is the
first day of Through its popular makeover program, the Beauty Night Society has touched the lives of thousands and reintroduced a healthy touch to the lives of vulnerable women throughout British Columbia, creating real life makeovers.
Please visit www.beautynight.org for information on programs and on how to help.
Beauty Night,
because dignity is beautiful.
I think I was blind before I met you.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a Big Sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm very excited to have the last Friday morning episode, and I hope that you again will be able to come and join me at the new time, Mondays at 12 noon here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver or online at citr.ca. Right now, we are speaking with Jeffrey Armstrong. He is the author of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. And we've been talking about a lot of the planetary changes that have happened over the last, you know, since we started screwing up this planet. But now we're going to move a little bit more into a spiritual discussion about consciousness and the actual spiritual teachings of the Avatar. Welcome back to the show, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Marie.
Before we get into the discussion, let's just say, where can people find your book?
It's published by Beyond Words Atria, which are an imprint of Simon & Schuster. So Amazon, Banyan Books, locally here in town. And I think most of the chain bookstores are also carrying it or can order it, so it's in books and print as well. But it's actively in the market right now. It was released on June 29th here in Vancouver.
Wonderful. And so in your website is spiritualteachingsoftheavatar.com. And I noticed that there is a, you can download chapter 5, Honoring the Feminine. I would really like to talk about honoring the feminine, but I'm going to leave it to you. What do you think we should discuss first?
Well, that's a very good talking point. And the only thing I wanted to do first is redefine the meaning of avatar. So I give you the very specific definition. It is... Avatar means, ava means to descend, and tara means to heal and restore. So implied in the word avatar are two things, a masculine and feminine presence. So when avatars came in India, they came in both masculine and feminine form, which means that the supreme reality, the ultimate truth, is considered to be both male and female. If you'd like, you could say Mr. and Mrs. God, who are always viewed as both male and female, and therefore explain why we showed up as male and female, because we're made in their image. So the story of the avatars in India is always about the descent of the ultimate reality to Earth as both a male and a female. And they do two things. They confront some evil that is trying to destroy the world in selfish and destructive ways and have a confrontation over that. And then the second thing they do is spend time with the sincere and loving and gentle beings on the planet and empower them with knowledge of how to understand who they really are and to be healed from any injuries and wounds that maybe have arisen from not knowing who they are. And one of the great teachings in that is the importance of the feminine divine and of a validation of our loving and feeling self that is often pushed aside by the aggressive and domineering behavior of the world, which usually comes from men.
And so it sounds like, and I think it's pretty obvious that we have been living in an imbalanced state. And so do you think that the masculine-feminine imbalance is the main imbalance we've been experiencing, or are there other avenues of imbalance?
Well, the first imbalance, according to the teachings of the Avatar, is for us to see ourselves correctly as a divine being who's visiting this world rather than someone who simply arose from matter. So the best way to think of it is we're not... humans having a spiritual experience were spiritual beings having a human experience. And so that change of context makes us have a bigger view of ourselves as eternal divine beings who are the source of our consciousness. Our consciousness comes from us, not from matter. And so therefore we're here visiting this realm of material possibility.
So Jeffrey, it sounds like what you're saying is that each one of us is an avatar.
Well, the proper use of the word is the avatar comes of their own choice. So you get a yes and no on that. Yes, in a sense, we could become that volitional. But no, for the most part, most people are here reincarnating, meaning they keep going unconscious and coming back by force of circumstance. But we're trying to find out how to go from a limited self to the highest form of ourself. And in that higher form of ourself, we're strictly divine by nature, and we don't have to have a material body in order to be or in order to exist. It's just like if you own a car and then you got confused and think you have to live in the car because you own it. Then you'd be trapped by your car rather than have it as a useful vehicle for moving around. So we as humans have gotten trapped in our vehicle, this body we're in, and we think that's who we are. So in the film, when they greet each other, they say, I see you. In India, that's namaste. It means I see you as the consciousness inhabiting your vehicle, your body, and I see you as divine. I see your greatness.
So why do you think that they instead, why didn't they just say namaste?
Because that would have made it seem cultural rather than universal. And the original meaning of namaste was universal and not just particular or cultural. So when we hear it, we think, oh, Hindu, India, we think divisively, we don't think universally. But Sanskrit, the language it's speaking in, is a universal language that's meant for all races and all places and all times. So when someone says namaste, they don't mean I'm a Hindu. They mean I see you as the consciousness inside the body. And it's for everybody. But it's become culturized. So Cameron was trying to escape from that, so he said it in a slightly different way. I see you. But what do you see in there is what we should be asking. If I see you, what am I seeing in there? What's going back and forth between the two bodies in the case of Jake Sully? What is that that goes back and forth? That's us. So where the book starts, when I put this in the book, I describe it this way, that who we are is students in the universe, and the universe is a university. It's actually a college campus. And Earth is a campus for learning, and we're all here learning, but some of the students are burning the campus down, which is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the students wouldn't dream of doing that, so they're they're behaving well. So you look around, you'll see people who are behaving well intentionally, and some are behaving well sort of by habit, and some are being malicious by negligence, and some are being malicious on purpose. Question is, can we get people to be conscious enough of this and see past the skin and see past all the externals to start treating each other with respect on a global and universal basis? And that's one of the key teachings of the Avatar, that we're not supposed to colonize each other. We're supposed to have loving respect for each other and have diversity and see each other in a spiritual way.
So I'm curious, Jeffrey, if we were living the teachings of the Avatar, do you think that we would... Obviously, we have global problems with all of the, as you put it, raping and pillaging behavior that we've been up to. But do you think that we would have the same kind of population that we have right now if we were truly living in harmony?
Well, that is one of the problems that the planet's going to have to face, is that it's just like your body. If you ate too much sugar, you would probably develop a population of beings that are not sustainable. And then if you changed your diet, all of those beings in your intestines would die off. So it's a sad and yet true thing that our planet right now has used fossil fuel to grow a population that may be larger than it can sustain. So we either have to watch that population diminish, which won't be pleasant as human beings, or we have to become very generous in making sure that they're okay. So the first thing that seeing everyone in a divine way should do is make us care for them rather than not care for them. And it should mean that we care about everybody everywhere and every living entity, even the animals and bacteria and plants and everything. And therefore, it should engender in us a more loving view of life itself, and we should also try to keep the planet intact, because we should think, I want to pass a healthy, living planet on to the next generations. And we've lost track of that. That's something that all the indigenous cultures held as a viewpoint, each in their own way. But the thing is, none of them had to do it on a completely planetary basis, but now we do, because technology has opened up the whole planet. So now we have to move to a very mature level of looking at everyone in the world as valuable and not think, oh, their skin is different and their politics is different, so I don't care about them. We have to care about every living entity. And we have to have a philosophy that supports that.
Well, Jeffrey, and it's interesting that, we see the devastation that happens in other parts of the world and the tragedy. And, you know, if Saturday afternoon you're watching television, there's the half-hour infomercials about all the sick children with flies all over them. And, you know, I mean, that really brings up feelings of sadness and empathy. And at the same time, it's almost like seeing all these images of death and destruction and misery has almost jaded us and kind of numbed us. Like it's like when you watch a horror movie the first time, it's scary, but if you've been watching horror movies for 10 years, it's kind of funny.
It's because, it's a really good point, Marie, it's because it's difficult for us to find a way to be proactive politically, because politics and power is concentrated in the hands of so few people, that we don't feel that by feeling compassionate we can do much about it. If we didn't have the open internet, and if we didn't have radio of the kind that we're doing right now, and if we couldn't still talk about the problems, there really may be no hope. But there is hope as long as human beings can imagine a better way of doing things. So we really do have to change the paradigm. There's a chapter in the book called Corporate or Cooperate, and corporations as they exist right now are really just organized thievery that goes out into the world and robs and pillages. The agenda of a corporation, their only responsibility is to make profit for their shareholders. They have no responsibility to higher values or sustaining the planet or something like that. So corporations as we know them now, though they may not all behave that way, started out as robber barons going out into the world and taking from the cultures that you now see flies on their children. So that has to change. We have to change and take responsibility for gathering wealth and consider the whole planet in our view, or else watching 2 billion people die on television will be the next horror show that we see, and that's not what we should hope for. We should really find a way to take care of everyone, and that means in our own country here too, so there shouldn't be hungry people. The responsibility of government is to make sure no one is hungry, period. Full stop. Because if you have hungry people, how can you ask them to follow laws when they're starving? So these things have to be thought about, and these are all ancient Avatar teachings.
And all right, well, there's so much I want to say about that, but it's time for a break, so we'll be back in a moment. We right now are speaking with Jeffrey Armstrong. He is the author of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar, and I did say last week I was going to give away a pair of tickets to the wellness show that's coming to Vancouver February 18th, 19th, and 20th of 2011, and it's going to be under the sales, I believe, or... No, it's going to be at the new convention center down at the waterfront, February 18th, 19th, and 20th. I do have a pair of tickets to give away, so I think what I'm going to do is, I'll give them away in the next break. So listen intently for the cue to call for those free tickets to the wellness show, and we'll be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in a flash.
CITR 101.9 FM is proud to present Shaolin Soul, Foundations of Wu, a Black History Month tribute to music and music making, February 23rd at the Fortune Sound Club. Shaolin Soul pays tribute to the legendary black artists featured in the Wu-Tang Clan's music and serves as a solid reminder of the many soul, funk, and R&B artists who have influenced hip-hop. DJ Lady Land and DJ Shi will keep the dance floor moving with a mixture of old-school and new-school flavor. Best of all, the night will feature Vancouver's first Soul Train dance-off, with prizes going to the top dancers. 50% of the evening's proceeds will go to the Templeton Secondary School's music program, which is in dire need of new instruments and equipment. Don't miss Shaolin Soul, February 23rd at the Fortune Sound Club, 147 East Pender Street, proudly sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM. CCPA BC is pleased to announce that Amy Goodman will be the featured speaker at their 2011 Gala fundraiser on Friday, April 29th. As the host and executive producer of Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman is a pioneer in the independent media movement. The fundraiser will also feature a delicious buffet Indian dinner and a silent auction full of local goodies. Buy individual tickets or reserve a group table for 8 online at policyalternatives.ca/Amy Goodman or call Diane at 604-801-5121 extension 221 to pay by phone. The CCPA BC 2011 Gala Fundraiser featuring Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Takes place Friday, April 29th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Fraser View Hall in Vancouver.
Radio, sucker, never block.
The CRTC has just recently made a decision to revoke the FM broadcast license of our sister station, CKLN. As Toronto's oldest campus community station, CKLN has been broadcasting since 1983. If you are listening to this station, then you probably understand the importance of community access radio. Please help support our sister station. Find out how you can keep CKLN on the air by visiting their website, www.ckln.fm.
www.ckln.fm, was it? Yes, we definitely want to save their license and get it back. It is so important to have community radio. We're just talking with Jeffrey Armstrong about corporations, and so many radio stations are owned by very large corporations, and we need to protect the voice of the people and the voice of the community. So please do get involved with that if you value community radio in Canada. Thank you so much. And I just want to let you know, too, that today is the last Friday episode of Synchronicity. It won't be airing anymore on Fridays at 9 a.m. I'll be moving starting February 21st to Mondays at 12 noon. So please do join me there. And if your schedule doesn't allow you to listen live, you can always go to citr.ca or my website, spiritualshow.com, to catch archives of the show. And we're also on iTunes if you like to listen on your iPod. So check that out. Welcome back to the show, Jeffrey Armstrong, author of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. Hello.
Hi, Marie.
So we've talked about consciousness and how we, of course, anyone who listens to this show knows that we're more than our body. There is an observer in us, and really, what is that observer? But how do we get in touch with that? What does your book, Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar, teach us about? I mean, it's all well and good to kind of know that intellectually and know that we should be nice to people and that we're all connected and yada, yada, yada. But how do we actually live that?
Yes, and I'll answer that by going back to your question about the feminine divine and about the female and her role. One of the real problems in our world is that the world is being managed and built by men. There's nothing wrong with men, of course. It's not that I'm anti-masculine nor the teachings of the Avatar, but it's that the feminine nature is designed to sustain life. And so we're supposed to, first of all, have a conception of the feminine as pervading nature. In other words, Mother Earth is a being. She is Gaia, or Bhumi, as she's called in India. The word human comes from the Sanskrit Bhumi. We are Bhumi beings. We're part of the body of Mother Earth. So we're supposed to think that nature is purposeful, intelligent, divine, and we're supposed to hold ourselves accountable in the same way that we would if we loved our parents and we thought of them and treated them with respect and love. So this may seem simplistic, but it's really very profound that we're supposed to, first of all, see the earth and see nature as conscious, intelligent, and purposeful. And then we're supposed to cooperate. And in doing that, we're supposed to bring the feminine voice forward from the females around us, because they're really better at sustaining life than men are. And anyone who knows anything about living life understands that. But it doesn't get politically forward and brought forward. But the First Nations, for example, the Iroquois Confederation in the United States, gave rise to modern U.S.-Canadian democracy. They were responsible for it. They had a rule that the women chose the chief of the tribe, not the men. So it couldn't be done by politics. It had to be done by the wisdom of the women, choosing someone who would not just be aggressive, warlike, and powerful, but someone who would be wise and considerate and listening. And they could also throw the president out. So imagine a world right now where the women could vote any male leader out of office in a moment's notice and say, "You're not doing a good job."
Oh, wouldn't that be an amazing...
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
And I'm curious because that... I noticed that many men are very threatened by a strong woman. And I'm not talking strong right. In a masculine way, but a woman who stands in her feminine power. Why are men so threatened by that?
Well, It's probably a number of different reasons, but it's because the man is actually confused about how to both protect and be strong. We haven't trained our men in having both qualities. So they use strength at the wrong time. And because women are more complex, they have many more perceptive faculties than men do. But because women show weakness and fear and attachment, the men get confused and think that they have to always use their strength to domineer, even when they sometimes have to use it to protect. They get confused over those things. So really what we have is both genders confused about how to do their roles, and that goes back to a teaching of the Avatar, which is when we were young, both the men and women should have been trained and taught how to see their femininity and masculinity as a reflection of the sacredness of the male and female divine. In other words, we haven't seen the supreme reality as both male and female, so we've actually damaged the male and femaleness here in our world. So in the absence of a higher view, power rules, and since the men have been given more testosterone-based power, they don't have an alternative way of using that power by feeling as well. And the women, often who seize power, then act like testosterone-based men and give up their feminine power because they don't know a definition of it that's divine. So really, honestly, we're missing a definition of the male and female divine that is not present in the Middle Eastern religions or in the science of our modern world, and we have to look to the ancient indigenous cultures to reclaim a view of the source of our existence and our maleness and femaleness that is divine.
So it almost sounds like we as men and women are compensating for our lack of understanding, and so
we're supposed to have rites of passage into our sexuality in the body we're in that tell us how to see that our each respective energies as divine and link them back to a divine source, so we have a higher definition, and then that helps us to act in a more cooperative way instead of just a competitive way. Otherwise, the differences between the genders fragment into a competition, almost a kind of war between the genders that spreads out into the world.
Yes, and then none of us are happy.
Indeed.
We could just cooperate and it would be so much easier.
It would be so much better. And the paradigm of a cooperative way of being with each other is from the Avatar teachings. Because, as I say, they clearly say that the supreme reality is both male and female. That's why we showed up in male and female bodies. So we haven't been initiated into this. We haven't had it as a rite of passage. We just step into our sexuality as a power or a limitation or something like that. But all of those are fragmented views. A whole psychological vision of us would be to see the divine as male and female and us arising as male and female as a result of that. And all the ancient indigenous cultures held that view.
Beautifully said. Well, it's time for another break. We are speaking right now with Jeffrey Armstrong. He is the author of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. His website is also spiritualteachingsoftheavatar.com. You can find his book online at Amazon or here in Vancouver at the lovely Banyan Books. If you haven't been there in a while, stop by. I love going there and checking out all the lovely books and gifts and music and crystals. Lots of fun to hang out there for a while. So Jeffrey Armstrong is the name of the guest. Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar is the name of his book. And right now, this is the cue to call if you want a pair of tickets to the wellness show, the Vancouver Wellness Show, taking place at the Vancouver Convention Center, the new building, February 18th, 19th, and 20th, 2011. Give me a call right now. First person to get through, 604-822-2487, is going to snag a pair of tickets to the wellness show, February 18th, 19th, and 20th. So give me a call right now, 604-822-2487, 822-2487, and we'll be back with more synchronicity really soon.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
Ooh, Pit Pub and Burger Bar is home of the famous Pit Night. Relax with great prices on cold beer and lots of big screen HD TVs, or chow down on charbroiled burgers, beer battered fish and chips, and Belgian fries. The Pit is open 7 days a week, and Wednesday through Saturday is open late until 2 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
The Advocacy Office provides confidential and free representation, guidance, and assistance to students engaged in conflict with UBC. We advocate for students in preparing and attending formal meetings, hearings, and appeals against the university. Specifically, our office helps students with matters of student discipline, such as cheating, collaboration, or plagiarism, assigned standing, admissions, and financial assistance. We can also assist you in appeals to decisions made by UBC Library, parking, or housing. You are not alone. We're here to help. For more information, call 822-9855 or visit the website at www.ams.ubc.ca/advocacy.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC Students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
The Pit Pub and Burger Bar is home of the famous Pit Night. Relax with great prices on cold beer and lots of big screen HD TVs, or chow down on charbroiled burgers, beer battered fish and chips, and Belgian fries. The Pit is open 7 days a week, and Wednesday through Saturday is open late until 2 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Congratulations to Francis. He just won tickets to the Wellness Show February 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Vancouver Convention Center. It's going to be in the new building. So, yay, congratulations. And he said this is the first time listening to Synchronicity. He was reading The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And if you're a longtime listener, you know that I also host a show for Eckhart Tolle's publishing company, Namaste Publishing. The name of the show is Namaste Radio. That's online. If you want more information about the other show that I host, go to my website, spiritualshow.com. And if you're just tuning in, I want to remind you one final time that today is the last Friday morning show of Synchronicity. The show is not ending, though. I'm just moving to Monday afternoons, Mondays from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And again, if your schedule doesn't allow you to listen live, you can always go to CITR.ca to listen to podcasts of this or any other show. And you can catch more information about the show at my website, spiritualshow.com. So we're talking today with Jeffrey Armstrong. He is the author of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. We just have a few minutes left with him. So welcome back to the show, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Marie. And I just wanted to also remind you and everyone that I have a website. My main website is jeffreyarmstrong.com. Very easy to find.
Wonderful. And so what will people find at jeffreyarmstrong.com?
They'll find the whole range of teachings that I'm involved in, from the work I do in India and traveling around the world and teaching, the various other books that I've published, and the several hundred hours of CDs and DVDs and different things that are available for people who want to learn more about this kind of knowledge.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And so, again, jeffreyarmstrong.com and your website for your book, Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar.com. And you can get that on Amazon or at Banyan Books here in town. And so we have just a few minutes left in the show. What would you like to focus on for these last few minutes?
I'd like to answer your original question, which is what we can do about this. Because, after all, this does need to come back to something practical that we can implement. So, at this moment in time, what appears to be a very problematic planet, problems are also opportunities in disguise, even if they appear very daunting at first. So, the current generation, all of us living at this time, we have an opportunity to turn this around, and the formula is something like this. We have to find a way to live each day as our truest self, And that means we have to do something every day at the beginning of the day to meditate and become that being first, hold a larger perspective. Then what we have to do to change the planet is to re-green the planet. We have to plant trees. James Cameron using the home tree was very wise and important. We have to cultivate a relationship with nature and bring her back, bring every entity that's threatened back. And we have to make this a conscious agenda for the whole planet, because without all of these other beings living on the planet, we'll simply die off. And then the other thing we have to do is make a bridge between that attitude, that indigenous attitude, and modern science, and not eat food that's been manipulated and is no longer natural, not allow ourselves to be forced to consume substances that are not healthy and natural. We have to keep that definition of natural very strong and very carefully build new enterprises that are profitable but cooperative rather than profit only, and really see this as a practical possibility to build a new kind of corporation that has conscience, with what I'd like to call a chief conscience officer, a CCO, as well as a CEO. And in this, we have to be very practical and believe that we can build a lifestyle now that bridges the imbalances of technology, but uses science in a wise way, and then restores the green and life of the planet in the way that the indigenous peoples would have. We can do that.
Beautiful. Well, I really want to thank you for being on the show, and it's just been such... I'm just have so much hope for all of us, and everyone should definitely get your book, Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. Is there anything else? I'm going to play a show before we close, so I'm wondering if there's anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up.
Well, just that our belief in each other and in the divine, that life is supported by love, that the first impulse that created all of this, created the beauty and the love that we felt and see, is possible. And that really we have to dedicate ourselves to that and to bringing that out into the world every day. And it really requires each individual. There's no movement. There is no savior. There is no miracle. There is no switch that's going to be turned on that will change all of this, in my opinion, at this time in history. It is all of us cooperating together to change it. We can do that, but it will require each one of us to do that and choose to do that, not to just follow somebody or have a switch turned on automatically, but actually it's a decision that everyone gets to make. At this moment in history, the Avatar is going to come through us, through the Avatar teachings.
Beautiful. And so is there anything that we, I guess, do we need to let go or drop something in order to fully connect?
Well, mostly we need to start investigating how to live on the planet, because this war is going to be fought not with weapons, if we're lucky, but as consumers. So we really have to become very conscious. My view is that everything that we consume should come with a real price tag. It should tell us where it was made, who made it, whether it was children in some other culture or somebody somewhere who was disadvantaged, what is the real energy cost of the thing we're consuming? We have to somehow become conscious of everything we're doing rather than remain in a blur of unconsciousness that's been created by marketeers and people who just want to feed us anything and call it healthy or useful. We've got to start thinking about the whole planet as an organism and being conscious in our consumption and behavior so that we actually live on the planet as if we were trying to leave it as a beautiful place for the future generations. At the same time, have a wonderful life ourselves. Those two need to converge into single behavior of how we live on the planet.
Beautifully said. Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey Armstrong. And again, it's Jeffrey or Jeff Armstrong? JeffreyArmstrong.com?
Jeffrey, JeffreyArmstrong.com.
Wonderful. And Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar is the name of the book. Thank you so much, Jeffrey, for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, Marie, for standing as a beacon for all of these great ideas and for continuing to bring beautiful things into the world.
Thank you. And do you have any upcoming workshops or anything that you're doing around either town or anywhere, because this show goes everywhere.
Yes, and they're announced at my website. So if you look on my website, you'll see a calendar of coming events.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again for being on the show. Have a great day.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste. So this has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for being with us, with me today, and as well for the last 2.5-ish years that this show has been on the air, Friday mornings at 9 a.m. I do want to let you know that I am moving starting Monday, February 21st. This show will take place on Mondays at 12 noon. So I hope that you will join me there, and you can listen to the show on podcast at citr.ca. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My show is called Synchronicity, Talk Radio for Your Mind, Body, and Soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and thank you so much for being with me today. It's been such a pleasure serving you, and I would like to thank our guest, Jeffrey Armstrong, author of Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you again on Monday, February 21st at 12 noon here on CITR. Take care.